Good afternoon. Good afternoon. My name is Katrina Turnbow, and welcome to the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council Design Series podcast, designed to discover the behind the scenes of our MBEs and corporations and discuss all the great things that are happening in the MMSDC community. Today, April 10th, we have our wonderful MBE representative of Bill Doran Resources. Bill Doran, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
I am glad to have you here. So, Bill, I have known since I have known you since the beginning of my MMSDC career, and probably saw you a little bit before then as I was bouncing around in small business world. But you have been a member of Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council for how long, Bill?
It's been about 18 years.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. How long have you actually been in business?
I've been in business for about 19, 20 years.
So from the beginning, so as you know, this is going to be a great conversation because Bill has definitely seen the evolution of MMSDC back when it was MMBD. What was it?
MMBDC.
MMBDC. Yeah. So let's start from the beginning. Bill, tell us about you, the company, and you 18, 19 years ago when you first launched.
Well, I worked for a company in Pontiac. I was there for about 10 years, and the owner had approached me and said that he was going to shut down.
Okay.
And I actually approached him and said, well, what do I do? And he said to me, well, you know, we'll do what we can for you. We will give you some letters of a recommendation and things like that. But I didn't want to go that route. I had been with him for a while, and what he set me down and talked to me about was, hey, do you want to take over ownership? And that to me was a step that I wasn't prepared for. I didn't know how to respond to that.
Okay.
But over a few weeks, he, you know, continuously talked to me, and we worked out a plan, and he stayed on board with me for the first 2 or 3 years, and we're still moving today.
Oh, my goodness. So every week, I always smile because I learn something new about either the corporation, the individual person, and now your personal story. So,
yes.
Number one, we talking with our Young Entrepreneur series, one of the areas that we want to develop and we're, you know, exploring more is how you actually acquire a business, you know, not necessarily being second generation. Stephanie Burnley is one of our brand ambassadors for the Young Entrepreneur group, and she's in a very fortunate position to take over her father's company. But so often that is not everyone's story. So tell us a little bit about what that was like. You know, again, that mentorship. So obviously he worked out with you and made sure things went smoothly over 2 to 3 years. But tell us a little bit in terms of just, you know, your personal experience, what that really looked like, because I think oftentimes we as young entrepreneurs never look at the route that acquiring a business or even having the discussion like it's unobtainable. And I think that is
exactly
one of the biggest myths that MMSDC does a great job of helping to unfold, that it doesn't have to be you don't have to birth it.
Right.
You know, you can make it your own, you know, or whatnot. So tell us about that, you know, part of your life and figuring it out since you felt that you weren't prepared.
Well, what the gentleman did was with me was first we had to go through the financials. And I, William Duran, was not prepared for that.
Okay.
What he did was he went into the bank with me. He helped me secure the loans. He co-signed everything.
And, wow.
And again, it was amazing that this man did these things for me, because I didn't know him. I mean, I worked for him for like I said, about 10 years.
Okay, so you have, of course, that's a strong relationship at that point.
That was the gist of it. But I guess he seen something in me and believed in me and created this amazing opportunity for me. And to this day, I still feel indebted to him. But it was by the grace of God that this man entered into my life and helped me grow into what we are today.
Wow. Okay. So what was some of your bigger fears, you know, as you were going through this process with him?
I had never been in a situation like that. Those people in that building were my coworkers. They were my friends. I didn't know how to come to work tomorrow and now I own this thing. I didn't know how to to talk to them. I didn't know how to work with them. He walked me through all that. He taught me all these things. And again, it was a learning curve that I just every day, every morning, I would wake up, I would thank God, and I would just go and learn and learn and learn and learn. And today we're, 20 years down the road, and I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a miracle. It's been a great ride, and I enjoy it, and I look forward to doing it for hopefully another 20, 30 years.
Yes. So, oh my goodness, I think I'm literally in awe. And this is the cool part of the podcast and these conversations, because I know you, and you meet people at certain places in their lives, no matter what it is.
Correct.
And you just start rolling there. Mm-hmm. And you forget oftentimes, or you never have the moment to have that history and that story. And it even makes you appreciate things more, I think, in a greater scope of things. Me, myself, being, my first year and a half now as my own entrepreneur and, carving out my own lane. And so many of us, I think, we compare.
Yes.
We compare, and it's almost sometimes I have to remind myself that you did not wake up, where you are today.
No.
And everybody has their step-by-step process. But again, that mentorship and that courage and just that ability to decide that I'm going to go this entrepreneur route, that's what I'm going to do. So prior to you actually acquiring the company, mm-hmm. In your 10 years with him, was becoming an entrepreneur part of your plan, or had you even really considered that?
Absolutely not. I just wanted to.
You said absolutely
before,
not.
Before printing, I was in the military. I spent 4 years in the United States Navy.
Okay.
And I came home, and I wanted a job. I wanted to start a family. I wanted to raise a family.
So the traditional kind of this
get
is
up,
what
go to
you
work
do.
Every day.
Yeah.
That was my plan. And again, this tremendous thing happened, and I love it. I enjoy it every day. And though I speak of the gentleman that helped me in the beginning, it didn't really stop there. I'm still today meeting people that are doing and helping me grow as a business. And,
mm-hmm.
and like when you speak of mentors, there are great people that I still keep in my life that are in business today that I learn from them. I watch them and I try to emulate what they do in my own business and in my own life. And so you just, I think every day you just keep learning and you keep growing. And that's been my lane for success thus far.
Okay, so now we have, that's one of those Hail Mary stories. That's what I call them. When you have the perfect story and the perfect storm all collide, and of course we look back 20 years, they say hindsight is always 20/20. He threw the ball, you caught it. Now 20 years later, that would be the ride. But in the middle of that ride, and of course building your business, so you acquired and, became an entrepreneur 19 years ago, and out of you basically, with the exception of 1 year, you immediately became a certified minority business owner. So tell us about, how did you find out, or what was that connection with MMSDC, to get you to certify immediately?
Okay, when I started, as I said, I was in Pontiac, and it was, as an owner, it was new to me. So I surrounded myself with people that do what I do, that mm-hmm. there were printers and marketing companies in the business. I met a gentleman. His name was Walt Hampton.
Okay.
Walt Hampton really groomed me, and he was the one that told me, you need to think about becoming certified through the MMBDC. I didn't know what that was mm-hmm. or anything about it. So we sat and we talked. I learned a lot about them, and I went and met with the MMBDC at the time, and we filled out our paperwork and went through the steps, and we were declined. Immediately.
Oh. We were declined.
So months later, I went back down and I asked, why were we declined? I mean, what is it that I did wrong, or what is it that I need to do? And that's when the financing came in.
Oh,
they said,
okay,
it's a financing issue with ownership. So I asked them, how do I fix this, or what are the steps I need to take? They explained it to me. We went back down, I want to say about a year or so later,
uh-huh.
and I was certified after that.
Wow. Now, with that certification and those adjustments to become now properly certified, What were those adjustments? Because I believe, and I am again walking, you know, this journey myself. As you said, you're not prepared, and he walked you through the financials. Mm-hmm. Out of everything in the world that you have to figure out and understand what is related to financials, I think probably for everyone, unless you're a financial, you know, type of person or in that industry, it is either overwhelming or your brain is like, listen, I am just trying to keep the lights on. And being an accountant was not part of the plan.
Exactly.
So, you know, going through the financials, what did you discover about your business? Because once you align certain financials in the same thing, you get that stuff right one time, or a general structure, which I have found aligning my financials properly to get certified by MMSDC, you pretty much can walk through just about anything
else.
So, you know, what were those financials that you realized that you had to modify that were important that you didn't realize at the time?
Well, like I said, the gentleman was trying to help me. So when we went through the banking, he had the credentials and everything. I didn't. So the loan was secured through him. And as far as the MMBDC was concerned, they felt like it was a control issue.
Oh, in terms of true ownership?
Money, yes.
Oh, okay, got
it. So what I had to do was, after, like I said, about a year in, and I was able to make the payments that we needed to make to adjust everything, to turn the control back to Duren Resources or Bill Duren.
Okay.
They were okay with that. But in the beginning, we didn't know the steps that we had to take.
So okay,
what we were trying to do is just secure ownership for Bill Duren.
Right.
What the MMBDC said was, that's fine, but you don't have control. So we had to change that. We modified the way that the loan was structured. We modified the way the payments were made. And that is what fixed it.
Oh, okay. See, and you know what? Those are the little things. You know, those are the little things that you think that you're doing everything right. And maybe if you never had to communicate or talk with anyone else or submit for any type of loan, it would have been fine.
Yes.
It would have been fine.
Yep.
But that's not the case, especially in this day and age where, you know, unfortunately, diversity and inclusion dollars are being taken away every day.
Correct.
I was just having a conversation with a wonderful woman who is now doing some accounting for me, and you know, understands some of those processes or whatnot, that she was just saying, you know, no, actually, you need to consider this, you need to consider this, and if you don't kind of work in that world or in that space, it may, even as an accounting level, it could have been overlooked because they would not understand some of the processes of what is required to become certified. And, you know, as you said, the financing. So you get over the financial hump, you know, of course, just in restructuring. During any of that time, did you feel frustrated? Did you feel like you wanted to stop, or was it just so overwhelming where it almost made you want to say, you know what, just forget it? You know, was that any of those moments?
A lot of times. It's a tremendous step that you take, and there's a lot of pain. There's a lot of great days, and there are a lot of bad days.
A lot of bad days. A lot of struggling days. I can call those days my "Why am I an entrepreneur today?" days.
Exactly.
Oftentimes, I'm like, I told my mom one day, I was like, you know, I obviously must be crazy to set myself up for these things, and. In the same breath that I say those things, I cannot imagine being anything else. Even though when I was employed, and everyone knows I work for W3R and I love them dearly, and they still support me and help, you know, grow me and everything related to me, to be honest with you. So I'm same thing, you know, mentorship, they and several other people now, but you know, that's where I got my anchor, was with them. And sometimes, you know, even still having that entrepreneur spirit within the company, I would just often days be like, is this really what I want to do?
Yeah.
Why? Like, why it's do I want to do this? But, you know, I can't imagine at this point of everything that I went through, I couldn't be anything other than this at this point.
There's nothing else I would rather do.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so now we get you over the hump. You know, you got yourself grooving. You got to prove. So what are those first few years like, you know, learning the curve, and now you're in? Now you have been certified and approved.
Well, one of the things that I didn't understand was you get your certification, and oftentimes what I find that people do is you have that paper and you just think, now it all comes. And I learned real fast that's not the issue. That's not how it works.
The floodgates do not just open and start pouring out business and million-dollar contracts.
You have to work the council, and you have to get yourself out there. Networking is huge. It took me a few years to learn the pathways and how things, how you maneuver through things. And again, it was through some great mentors and great people that I have in my life that showed me how to walk through this desert here. And we got there. But what you want to do is you have to work that council. You know, you want to attend those sector meetings. You want to attend those all those events, you know, where one thing I've always said about the MMBDC, well, MMSDC, was they often have events where that person that you've been trying to get on the phone for the last, he's going to be at that event.
Yes.
You're going to catch him at that event. So that's what you need to do. You got to get to those events. You have to work the conferences and things like that. You know, it doesn't just come with that piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. And I think routinely, everyone who participates on a regular basis, if any information is conveyed consistently, is that actually came up in terms of the Young Entrepreneur Series that we had a few weeks ago. It was about, you know, we need access. How do we get the contracts? And as I was reading that, you know, of course, I'm saying, okay, this is the step that you begin with. You have to be visible. You have to participate. You have to make it you have to be intentional.
Yes.
You have to be intentional, and you can't just do it one time. And
no.
I believe definitely in this space now, I think is more, you know, familiar to our space and something that we both grew up with, which is you got to put your dues in, your time in before, you know, all of that's going to happen oftentimes now. And I think I've seen this in other, you know, of course, industries and just other situations where, like you said, it's almost an entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, that's not quite how it goes.
No, you'll learn that.
You're going to show up here 150 times, mm-hmm. and maybe on 151, you know, you might get that conversation
exactly.
or that person that you're exposed to. But again, you never know who you're going to meet, you know, the connections and the synergies.
Yes.
My favorite thing, I always crack a joke with myself, is networking to me is a recreational activity. And that's just who I am as a person. You know, that's my personality. But it's fun to me. And that is the area, because I believe every business or every person has a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just really trying to find out, like, oh, what do you do? You know, what's going on with you? Or what's this business about?
Yeah.
And different things like that. So we have learned so much. I feel like, Bill, I feel like I just met you.
Wow.
I did not know any of this, which is cool. And we're all learning together. And this is why the Design Series podcast was launched by MMSDC, to hear the background stories and hear the conversations that you typically don't hear unless you're at a networking event.
Exactly.
So now we have an ability to spread the story, MMSDC and the connections and how it all began for our MBEs and corporations oftentimes. So we're going to actually take a break now and do what we do best. Of course, get the bills paid. And how we do that? With a couple of commercials from some of our sponsors and supporters. Please feel free to call in at 248-809-6400 as we are live. You can find us online on Facebook at the Diverse Supplier, or just type in Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council and you will get directly to us on Facebook. We will be back shortly after one great song of motivation and excitement on this wonderful Tuesday. We'll be right back.
Access to committed corporations, a network of ambitious and like-minded entrepreneurs, and the opportunity to grow your business exponentially. This is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I'm Michelle Suri Robinson, President and CEO of the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. The MMSDC is amongst the largest of the regional affiliate councils in the network, serving more than 1,000 minority business enterprises and 300 corporate members. At our core, the MMSDC does four things. We certify minority-owned businesses and ensure that these businesses are truly minority-owned, operated, and controlled. We develop MBEs to take on new opportunities, and we help to develop corporate supplier diversity programs across the state of Michigan. We connect minority entrepreneurs with corporate buyers, advocates, and executives, as well as with each other, to maximize the opportunities available to our constituent base. And we also advocate on behalf of the interests of minority entrepreneurs on a local, state, and national level. The MMSDC is always developing new ways to push minority business enterprises to the next level.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council Design Series. Today we have I'm going to call it our Hail Mary story with, with Bill Doran of Doran Resources. So excited to have him here today. If you did not catch the first half of our podcast today, please go back and rewatch it, of course, or re-listen to it. Bill just told us a great story of really how he came into the business as an MBE, and it was through acquisition of not through family, but of the owner of the business who believed in him after working 10 years and decided to back him and support him and allow him to grow into the business as the owner after two or three years.
Yes.
So that is a quick version of definitely the conversation. And we would love for you to call in to ask Bill any questions as we are live every Tuesday from 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. on the MMSDC Design Series. The number is 248-809-6400. So now we're going to fast forward through 18 years of experience with Bill and really talk about what is coming up and the big to do for MMSDC, which is MMPC, Michigan Minority Procurement Conference, which is held this year at Cobo Center, May 8th through the 10th. And the big anchor, of course, is the actual trade show. And Bill is actually going to give us tips and talk to us about how to work a trade fair. Being in marketing and advertising, you know, Bill has seen everything from trade show displays to God only knows how much marketing material you're producing right now for the show and all of those things. So talk to us, Bill, in terms of preparing, you know, for MMPC, because we have two audiences that we believe that are, of course, existing. First and foremost, our young entrepreneurs and our first-time participants. And then we also want to talk to you about, you know, those who have been there for 4 or 5 years and you find that you're at the MMPC and maybe you feel like, you know what, what's next? How do I present myself in such a way as the market and requirements change to present yourself to connect with procurement professionals? So we want the gossip, Bill. We want to know what to do at MMPC.
Well, one of the things that I used to do before the trade show was that I would make myself a list of companies and contacts. And you come up with the list of who you want to meet with, what companies you want to see, and what you need to do is find out who those specific buyers are.
Okay.
Who those specific diversity managers are. You want to set up something with them. You need to be prepared. You need to be professional and always business cards. You want your cards, you know, keep business cards with you. If you're an exhibitor, you know, you make sure your cards are at your booth. If you're walking the floor, you go after those people that you want to meet with. I would always go after the low-hanging fruit first. I was taught a long time ago that you don't want to just dive into the deep end of the pool. You want to make sure that you're prepared for that. So I would go after the low-hanging fruit and meet with those people and be prepared with your, you know, 2-3 minute elevator speech and speak specifically about what you do, how you do it, and what size you can do. You know, there are companies out there that are looking for suppliers that are regional. There are some that are looking for some that are global, that are national. You know,
that's a great point. That is such a great point. I think oftentimes we go in with the mentality that I am going to go talk to FCA and, you know, I'm going to take over the world.
No.
They're going to look at you and say, guess who's not doing that?
Exactly.
You know.
You have to know your capabilities, know your size. I mean, and if you want to, you know, go after FCA, that's fine. But you have to know what your capabilities are. Yes, I can do work with FCA, but I can only do it on a local level, or I can only do it on a regional level. You know, let them know that. The more is better. You know, the more you tell them, the easier it is for them to try to fit you in. You know, if you want to go in there and, you know, you're a new company, but you want to say that you're doing things on a global scale, that's going to be a little shaky. I don't think you want to go that route.
He said a little shaky, huh? Little iffy.
Little bit.
Well, so what would you consider low-hanging fruit? What was low-hanging fruit for you when you began?
With me, I tried to meet, you know, MBE to MBE is a good thing to do. I look at the size of companies. You know, when I first started, I didn't go after Fortune 500 companies because mm-hmm. I needed to grow my business, grow my name. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of this, I love this city, but a lot of what goes on here is who you know. And it's relationship driven. So
totally.
Get your name out there. And, uh-huh. and the way to do that is you start small and you grow.
And that's okay. I believe one of the greatest opportunities working with MMSDC is that thing exactly. You know, been in business 18 years, have the track record. Somebody such as myself being in the same space, similar space, I could say, hey, Bill, I am able to take on this part at, you know, for your company. Is that reasonable? And I think that's what people don't understand is,
right.
And if you're not aware, for those of you first time maybe hearing this podcast or even experiencing who MMSDC is, Minority Business Enterprise to Minority Business Enterprise is really small business to small business.
Mm-hmm.
And again, let's talk about the definition of small business, because I'm a small business and so is, you know, a company that's actually 30 million in sales.
True.
Is still considered a small business. And that small business may have a revenue of 30 million, but they still only might have 15 or 20 of employees. So oftentimes you assume that because you have $30 million in sales that, oh, they're this big. Oh my gosh.
Right.
Nope. All the small business that I know, once I get to know them, I'm like, who, you know what? I did not know.
You have to do your homework. You do your homework. You know, when you go and talk to these companies, you need to know. I Google companies, you know, and I want to find out what they do and how they do it, you know. So when I go in and I can talk to them, I can actually tell you about your sales for last year. I can tell you what you did in marketing. You spent this much in printing. And then I can talk to you on how I may be able to increase your bottom line or increase your ROI. You know, you want to do the homework. You don't just want to dive into that deep end of the pool.
Yeah, actually, I mentioned this last week when Dwayne was on, and he actually said, he was basically, and Reggie Humphreys from GM will say the same thing, like, why are you walking up to me asking me, like, what can I do for you? And I was like, that still cracks me up. I'm like, seriously? You know, and I'm from my point of view, but I can say when you are raised right in business, just like raised right at home, you already instinctively or were groomed and taught these things. So mm-hmm. in my mind, I'm saying, who's walking up? He was like, you'll be amazed at what people actually say to you coming up, because now you sit on the floor as an exhibitor and also as a participant, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So tell us how, if you know, now this is more for the seasoned business owners who maybe, you know, this is their second, third, maybe fifth year at MMPC. Give us a couple of pointers and tips in regards to that strategy of being an exhibitor and being on, you know, needing to network and get to see your own people, you know, during that time.
Right. Well, what I do there, what you want to do there is, you have your game plan. I take notes. You know, a lot of times that if I met with you last year and there was really nothing happening, now I'm showing up again this year. I have my notes and you know, we spoke last year. We talked about this, that, and the other,
mm-hmm.
you know, and this didn't happen, or we didn't have the meetings that we said we would have. What is it that I need to do? You have to be persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Just be persistent and you keep pushing. And it doesn't happen overnight. It will not happen overnight. The thing is, I remember one of my first large accounts. I called this woman every day.
Did you be her for real?
Day. And she one day told me, Bill, do not call my office again. She said to me, I'm going to make this happen for you. And when it happens, you had better be ready.
Better be ready.
Today, they are still one of my largest accounts.
Okay. And that is the key. When they call, you just better be ready.
Yeah,
but
be persistent.
And sometimes harassment is okay. Because that was harassment. But you know,
I used to call her.
It was harassment in a good space and place.
Yes.
That is so funny. And, you know, I tell people that often. You know, I believe is when you understand and navigate that space of your personal, you know, like, I don't want to bother you. And when I always tell people, when it comes to business, I'm like, you better bother them.
Yes.
Do you know how many people that are actually calling them? Do you know how many people want to do the same thing that you
if
are doing?
If you don't, someone else will.
Easily. And mm-hmm. you never know when you may catch them. Because
the right
moment
time.
In the space that they are in a month from now versus where they are 2 years later or, you know, 6 months, it will be in a totally different space. You never know. The contracts that came through, the leadership changes, all of those
yes.
things matter. And that's the part that definitely has helped me is for whatever reason or however it's working, you know, touch base, see them out because I network and be out, you know, in mm-hmm. events and stuff visually. I tend to be on top of mind in a lot of situations. So it's a little bit easier. But, you know, I'm like, no, make the call.
Yes.
Call them again.
And it could be a situation I've gotten in on some accounts where it was a previous supplier who was underperforming.
Yes,
so
yes,
yes,
yes.
You have to stay on top of that.
That is a huge one. That is definitely a huge one. So now that's kind of the strategy in terms of, you know, participation. So let's talk about, you know, you provide marketing resources, all things marketing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us in terms of what's new. Let's just start there. What's new kind of in the market that you see that you should potentially even consider, you know, products and different things that you know are awesome for, you know, this experience at the trade show?
Well, in my field, I have to speak to what I do. What's changed for us is that it's all results driven now. You
okay.
know, back in the day, you would hire me to print you a beautiful piece.
Okay.
Today, because of budgets and everything, it's not about that piece anymore. Now everyone looks at results. Yes, that's a nice piece that you printed, but at the end of the day, what results did this company get? So what we've done now is we've kind of went at it a different way. What we do now is we help companies retain, acquire, and grow their business. So the pieces that I'm printing or the pieces that we're marketing, they're now to a segmented group. They're now they're more personalized now. You know, we're not just printing things and marketing to the masses anymore. Now it's all results driven, you know.
And okay.
You do a lot of that through research, you know, primary and secondary research.
So you're providing some of that research? Do
yes.
you support them in that? Okay. Do you provide support in terms of so once you do the research, are you guys actually suggesting language and different things like that that go on the pieces?
We're suggesting language, and we've actually taken clients who've come to us with a mail list of probably 5,000 people, and we would tell them, your mail list should really be about 3,000. You have 2,000 people here that are not even responding to that. So,
oh, wow. Okay.
So what we're doing is, you know, we're cutting their marketing spend, but we're increasing their marketing ROI.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
That is it's especially being... being in the marketing department here, you know, I tease people, you know, oftentimes where I used to say, you know, the first thing that used to be cut was the marketing department.
Yes.
I'm like, oh, okay. Let me know how that works out for you now. Let me know.
Well, what we're doing is just finding other ways to reach those people. And we want to reach the right people. Like I said, back in the day, you know, you just print 100,000 pieces and throw them out there.
Bam, yeah.
Now, you know, you may be printing 30,000 people, but those... You're printing to 30,000 people, but those people are responding the way you want them to respond. So the ink on paper is less, but the marketing, the value is still there.
Oh, okay. You know, I think that's good. And even though I was saying in a jokingly way, the part of, you know, being in marketing, you really do understand behaviors for many industries or see what people resonate, because the value of the actual piece, the marketing part does not go away. What the colors look like, what is the design and layout, be that digital or even be that, you know, it's still, you know, print, which is equivalent to like a brick and mortar, of course, how it looks and feels and what it communicates, all of that stuff visually. I think it means even more now because of what social media and digital marketing as a whole has done to marketing.
Yes.
And, you know, we're ADD about everything. You want everything this. I think one of the great areas, however, in this trade show space is that the elements of course, networking, but also the elements of really delivering the value and communicating that still lives there.
Yes.
You still have to read. You still have to, you know, ask certain questions that oftentimes online are get lost. It's like you get lost in translation, just
correct.
Like a text.
Yes.
You send a text, it can mean a whole lot of things
people
depending upon
it.
Who sent it and what mood you're in that moment. And capitalization, that's my favorite. Why are you yelling at me in text with all capital letters? Can you not do that? I think that's every time I see that, it's funny. I'm like, really? You're going to send me an entire text or email all in capital letters? Would you stop yelling at me?
Yeah.
But you know, just those little things, you know, that add up, that convey the message that that you're trying to get across at MMPC. So what are some of those creative and new, I guess you can say, be it print or even online, like what is some of the new stuff that you see that are great for trade shows?
Well,
from a marketing aspect,
what we do, well, let me see, for trade shows, well, you want to market your business. So brochures are nice, but you have to have, you know, it has to be catchy. It can't be just your simple everyday trifold anymore. It just doesn't do it anymore.
So what would you recommend instead of a trifold that works, that you feel is effective?
Something with die cuts, something with something with foils. You have to catch people's eye now. You know, we've seen brochures for years and years and years and years. So you have to be eye-catching now. You have to make someone stop and go, wow, what is that? Or who did that? You know?
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah,
you know what?
Things like that.
Now, do you guys do a lot of the do you guys do promotional items?
We do, but on a very, very small scale.
Okay.
Not our niche.
Okay.
On a very
okay.
small scale. There
okay.
are some great companies out there that do, that are MBEs that do that.
We have it all covered, that's for sure. Okay, so now that, you know, die cuts, foils, and different things like that, let's talk about, you know, once MMPC is over, because that's the other thing. You know, you have to be conscious of course, you're going to spend X amount of dollars with the trade show, paraphernalia, and just different things you do have to have leave behind, whatever you decide that is.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of your, you know, suggestions in terms of repurposing and reusing things? Because I believe oftentimes as you are figuring out that budget, you know, you're almost saying, well, we're only going to use it that one time. But are you really, you know, how do you, because you guys are moving in more of a consulting area, how do you stretch out the marketing dollars now that is used at MMPC but still used in other areas, you know, down the road?
Well, when you do those pieces, they become your brand. So don't just use them once a year. No. You want to continuously use those. That's your brand. And that's what I meant earlier when I said you have to get your name out there. You have to get your company out there. There has to be a brand. So continue to use those things, but don't just sparingly just throw them out there. You know, don't do that, because they can become pricey. But as you go out and you follow up with these companies, use those, you know. You drop them off at one of your I don't know, one of your customers. You know, just keep your name out there. It becomes your brand. So you don't want to lose sight of that.
Yeah, and you know, again, that's just going into the overall marketing budget and just things that I believe we get one dimensional. And
yes.
And just like I said, you just think it's a throwaway. But at this day and age, there is nothing that's a throwaway.
No.
And if you're still looking at it like that, let me know what your budget is and you can throw away some of that money over here. Let me know how this is working out for you. And again, everybody's just looking at different ways to be efficient and, you know, grow their business. So, okay. Let me ask you this. What are some surprise things that have happened in the industry? And it maybe it's one specific, you know, line or area such as automotive versus healthcare. What do you kind of see on the front now as, again, you've been 18 years watching everything. You're delivering results-oriented pieces and providing more of a consultation. Where do you see, you know, your business going next? And because you touch every industry, you touch so many areas, it gives you a unique position to service so many people.
Well, being here in Michigan, when I started, I dove into automotive. I thought that was the
end all be all.
That was where I needed to be. But honestly, over the past probably 7-8 years, healthcare has really grown for me. They're doing a lot on the male side with Medicare and things like that, but that's been my niche for the past 7. Healthcare has been huge.
Oh, wow. Okay. What's another emerging market or industry that you see is transitioning or just getting? I feel like certain industries are just catching up, to be honest with you, in certain areas.
You know, the digital age is really growing, but again, for me, it's just been healthcare. I do see the digital side of the marketing is growing tremendously.
Okay.
But again, for me, I have to speak. It's been healthcare. It's been a great ride for me for the past 7 years, and I'm gonna ride this thing out for as long as I can.
We are not getting off the roller coaster.
No,
we are on ride.
We're gonna stay on board.
Well, that's great. Well, as we get ready to actually go into another commercial, we'll take one further commercial. We would love for you to connect with Bill Doran of Doran Resources. He is one of our active MBEs leading cert. Wait a minute, Bill. What do you right now? Are you leading any of our groups or anything?
I am the co-chair for the SEC committee. That's the Signature Events Committee. That's chaired by Jackie Jackson. And
hi, Jackie.
Hey, what we do is we meet once a month, and what we do is we make sure that these events that our MBEs are attending, along with the corporates, that those events are educational, valuable to everyone that comes, and we also we want to make sure that it's just been a great experience for you. What we want you to do is come back. All the events, after the events, you know, there's normally a survey that come out, and I would ask that all MBEs, I don't know if it goes to the corporates or not, but I would ask that all the MBEs do fill out that survey, because we do take those things seriously. You know, we try to build on each event and make the next one better. So if there's ever an issue or a concern or something or an ideal that you may have, you can reach out to me, you can reach out to Jackie and Kevin Johnson, too. So
KJ. KJ, the king of events at MMSDC. If you don't know him, you've
get
seen
to know
him. Yeah, get to know him. You have seen him. You have seen him. You just didn't know that he is in the background keeping this little world spinning.
Yes, he is.
Well, we are going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about your participation at MMSDC on the background side of helping keeping these events going. And then we'll wrap it up. 248-809-6400. Find us online on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. And we will be back in a minute.
Access to committed corporations, a network of ambitious and like-minded entrepreneurs, and the opportunity to grow your business exponentially. This is the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. I'm Michelle Suri Robinson, President and CEO of the Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. The MMSDC is amongst the largest of the regional affiliate councils in the network, serving more than 1,000 minority business enterprises and 300 corporate members. At our core, the MMSDC does four things. We certify minority-owned businesses and ensure that these businesses are truly minority-owned, operated, and controlled. We develop MBEs to take on new opportunities, and we help to develop corporate supplier diversity programs across the state of Michigan. We connect minority entrepreneurs with corporate buyers, advocates, and executives, as well as with each other, to maximize the opportunities available to our constituent base. And we also advocate on behalf of the interests of minority entrepreneurs on a local, state, and national level. The MMSDC is always developing new ways to push minority business enterprises to the next level.
And we are back. Well, we are getting ready to close up the MMSDC Design Series podcast this afternoon with our wonderful guest, Bill Duren, as he has told us his, if you had not heard me reference it, his Hail Mary story of how he became an entrepreneur. One of my favorite stories. Now I will be referencing that in things that I know and weaving it into other conversations, but it's just a great testament in terms of becoming an entrepreneur and the type of wonderful stories that make MMSDC and this organization great, because it was not done overnight. It was through a lot of perseverance, hard times, probably
prayer
and tears all wrapped up into one. But that's definitely true, you know, and a lot of faith, you know, walking strong. So Bill is actually the co-chair of the SEC committee. There are quite a few committees and opportunities to participate with MMSDC where you can actually have a voice. I think that's one of the other things that a lot of people don't know, is that MMSDC is actually driven by volunteerism of the actual members. So you get the benefit, of course, of having the credentials to obtain contracts and do business at a level that is, and oftentimes, and I tell people this, if you do not have some of these credentials, you are not even qualified. They will not even talk to you. So it's not just about what the organization wants. We are talking about mandates that have been set by the government and by the industry, and you know, these billion-dollar companies that, you know, that's how you get in the door, are with some of these credentials. But again, through volunteerism and, you know, donating your time and supporting an organization, you get a chance to meet each other, as I've met Bill and work with them. So just go ahead and highlight, Bill, a couple other areas. Being the co-chair of the SEC committee, what would you like to see in terms of new members, you know, old members? If you can make a call, have a call to action today to participate with MMSDC, where would that be?
Well, I would recommend, you know, you have to find what suits you and what fits you. But these committees are an excellent way to network and sit at the table with people that you're trying to meet with. So I would recommend to all MBEs, reach out to the MMSDC and get on board. Join these committees. They're open. They, for the most part, they meet once a month. You know, it's not that much time consuming for you. And you know, get to these sector meetings. You have to work this council. It doesn't just come with that certificate. So if you're trying to grow, that is one of the first steps that I would take, is get on board with these committees. Get down to the council, meet those people, and talk to them. You know, they have great knowledge and experience. They've dealt with a lot of the issues that you may be facing today. So they're there for you, and use it. And you're paying those dues, so why not?
You're paying your dues.
So use it.
Leverage and use your access, because that's what it's there for. Well, Bill, tell us how we can follow up with you if anyone is interested in doing business with you or businesses looking for you.
You can reach me at bduren@durenresources.com. Our website is durenresources.com. We're located in the Troy area. If if there's anything, any marketing questions, quotes, or you just want to chat about some ideas, you know, we're here for you. Reach out to us and let us know if there's anything we can do for you.
And Duren is spelled D-U-R-E-N. Bill, yes. B-I-L-L, Duren, D-U-R-E-N, resources. So thank you so much for joining us today on the MMSDC Design Series podcast, sponsored by Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. Make sure you find us everywhere online, minoritysupplier.org, on social media, Michigan Minority Supplier Development Council. Type that in and we'll pretty much pop up everywhere that you're looking for us. And most importantly, we are selling out fast, but we still have opportunities for you to sponsor at MMPC. May 8th through the 10th is going to definitely be a great, great year of networking and building business relationships. And we're looking for those who have never attended. The trade show is actually open to the public, and that is one of the biggest things that we want to convey. Please do not feel like you have to be a member, but once you come to the conference, I'm pretty sure you will understand the significance and importance of becoming a member and aligning yourself with other businesses that can help take your business to the next level. So until next Tuesday at 1:30, 2:30 p.m., we look forward to talking with you then. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.